I'm going to give you 19 guesses to figure out what the theme of our show is this week, Vinny. Oh, I should have said 1917 guesses to tie it in.
Tie it in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is very different. This is not Scott Joplin singing Wonder Woman.
No, I couldn't find that. For some reason, he wasn't.
There's no Wonder Woman ragtime.
Nope. Although she was around.
I could have made a very offensive joke just now about Wonder Woman ragtime. I didn't. All right? Although the saying I didn't make that joke mean I made the joke.
It's the classy way of addressing that. Like, I have something rude to say. I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to let you know I could have.
I actually pointed it out because I had a feeling you were going to say it.
Right.
And I want to make sure you did it.
It's like the guy going home to his wife saying, you know, I could have banged 5 chicks, but I didn't because I love you that much.
Yeah, that's not a good idea anyway.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. But for comedy points of view, I think it's good because it subtly lets you know, here's a joke potential.
I didn't miss the easy joke, yeah. I knew the easy joke was there, right. But I didn't go for it.
Right. I'm taking the middle road, not the high road where I don't mention it, not the low road where I take it. The middle road where I tell you, I see the low road, and I'm letting you know I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also not on the high road. I'm right there in the middle. So we are actually recording in my vehicle, in my car, outside of a movie theater.
Yes.
And we are
very, very different. Very different being in the minivan. Did you have a minivan here?
Yes, I have a 2012 Honda Odyssey. It's my vintage import. Mm-hmm. It's 5 years old, and it's from ultimately from.
Have you thought about like buying like a 1917 type vehicle to tie in with like you? You could make 1917 your whole identity now if you want.
That's right. I could. I could start tattooing old 1917-ish things on me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would, though, because this isn't going to be forever. I mean, even if we kept on doing this until next year would be the 1918 podcast, right?
That it would be. Actually, I think we should maybe go, even further back.
Further back?
The 1818 podcast.
I like that.
Yeah.
A whole other 100 years to talk about, because we may be squeezing this lemon dry by the end of the year.
Or we have already.
Or we have already, yeah.
Which is why we're in a movie theater parking lot.
Oh, speaking of which, you weren't actually speaking of anything, but
no.
I want to do our sponsor before we forget.
Okay.
Okay. Our sponsor this week is Dr. Batty's Asthma Cigarettes, an actual ad from 1917, in case you're not clued into this yet. For your health. Since 1882, for the temporary relief of paroxysms of asthma. Effectively treats asthma, hay fever, foul breath, all diseases of the throat, head colds, canker sores, and bronchial infections. Not recommended for children under 6.
So it's
there's a lot to unpack in this simple ad.
The stuff that cigarettes actually cause, these cigarettes.
Yes, these cigarettes cure asthma, hay fever, bad breath, all diseases of the throat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the
opposite cigarette.
The opposite cigarette.
And it makes you not cool, though.
You are actually like sucking the smoke into mm-hmm. your lungs and then like putting it in the cigarette.
That's right. You can't, you can't play cards with these in prison.
Right.
Because it's all the opposite of what smoking does.
Now, remember, it's not intended for children under 6.
Wait, that's really on there?
That's real.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you just threw that on there.
No, that was actually there. Now, for children under 6, you can still have it. It's just not recommended.
Are you sure this is real?
Smoking among 5-year-olds is an off-label indication.
Did you like just? Is it? No, I'm being serious.
Did
you get duped by like an onion type?
I don't think so. I think this was authentic. This was why we got the Food and Drug Administration, because things like this were going around. People saying, "Oh, I've got this cigarette that'll cure all your ails."
Just fell victim.
I was trying to find a Wonder Woman specific advertisement, but they're really...
Smoking has nothing to do with Wonder Woman.
No, and Wonder Woman doesn't have anything to do with 1917.
When did she come out?
She came out in World War II.
Okay.
She was a Nazi era superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not that doesn't make that makes it sound like she was working for the Nazis. She was fighting Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a great series of Kate Beaton cartoons where Wonder Woman is like... actually smoking a cigarette, and she's like, "So, guys, I'm going back to my roots. I'm fighting Nazis. You got someone robbing a bank? They're not Nazis. Don't call me." So she started off as a World War II character and has had many reinterpretations over the decades since.
Many failed pilots.
Yes. For one time in the 70s, she lost all of her powers and was just working for the United Nations mm-hmm. in like a white bodysuit, which isn't her normal Wonder Woman attire. This version of Wonder Woman says that she's an immortal warrior, and she came back not in World War II, but in World War
I. 1917.
Yes.
See, we're not just here dicking around.
Nope. We're not just doing this so that we can write off the price of a movie ticket on our taxes next year.
Well, the income we bring in from the show, from these sponsors that we have.
Yeah, well, our bank will be broken unless we write off the $11.75.
By the way, we're recording this at night. It's a 9 o'clock show we're going to. There was a very good chance I fall asleep during this movie.
That's fine. I feel the same way. I actually had a diet Mountain Dew just to make sure that I wasn't going to fall asleep.
Yeah, I'll probably grab like a coffee when I'm in there just to.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm probably falling asleep. At least I fell asleep on the couch at 9:30. I'm, you know.
I was in bed by 9 last night.
I had a big day today. I played 18 holes of golf.
You did?
Yes.
Did you go to school also? Did you work? Or
how about we edit this out, Jeff?
Yeah, we can edit that
out. Okay, good. We're recording on a Saturday, fuck. It's a Saturday, we're recording.
Definitely Saturday.
Yeah. Although, wait, this doesn't make sense. Because I was about to comment that there was I just saw a child walking into the theater for like a 9 o'clock show.
There's, when you go to the movie theaters, you see some of the worst parenting ever. I went to Scary Movie 2, and I saw a mom with a 2-year-old.
Really?
Yes, a 2-year-old.
Well, at least the kid doesn't have school the next day. That kid over there has school.
Yeah, but I don't know what these kids are thinking.
They're not like me, who golfs independently on a weekday.
That's just more stuff for me to cut out. So, this is the fourth movie in the DC universe of films. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you need to watch Suicide Squad in order to understand this film.
Was Wonder Woman in that movie?
No, she was not.
Is she in Batman vs. Superman?
She is.
I've seen none of these movies, by the way.
Yeah, she is. But this movie, I think, takes place exclusively in 1917, so you don't need to know anything that happened in Batman vs. Superman, because that's a 21st century film.
Is Wonder Woman an alien?
No. No, she's from she is from an island that I have never learned the pronunciation of. It's like Themyscira or Themyscira. Mm-hmm. The movie is going to tell me how to say this correctly.
Oh, maybe bring like a recording device in, just so you.
Yeah.
You probably embarrass yourself at cocktail parties all the time with this.
I purposely don't talk about Wonder Woman because I'm scared that her island of origin is going to come up, and then I'll show myself off to be a rube and a fool. I can't say the name. I can say the name of her mom.
No,
Hippolyta.
This is like a feminist movie. Why don't you take your daughters to see this?
Hold on,
look how fat that guy is. Wow. Come on, he's really fat.
His wife is in the way. Okay, he's a very large guy.
His wife's not in the way.
His wife's in the way of a third of him. Like, I couldn't see that final third to tell the total girth.
I hope there's no seats left and you have to sit between the two of them in there.
Do you think he's going to go see Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Okay, let's make a bet. I'm saying he's not. I'm saying he's seeing anything other than our showing of Wonder Woman. Are you saying? Okay.
I'm thinking he's seeing our Wonder Woman.
Okay. And this is something else I am loath to admit, but let's be honest about this. I'm feeling just a very slight hesitance of being two guys going in to watch Wonder Woman, which is like, you know, seeming like a feminist girly movie.
No, we're
absurd.
We're woke. We're a couple of woke men.
Yeah, and we're seeing a superhero film.
You know, here's the thing. Was Wonder Woman ever considered feminist before this movie came out?
Yeah, she was.
I feel like they've made this into a feminist thing, and I don't buy it ever was before.
No, Wonder Woman was definitely a feminist.
So why don't you be a good father and take your daughters to see this and inspire them?
I will take it. My younger daughter does not want to see it. She doesn't like anything with fighting. My older daughter will see it, but we're a couple of movies behind.
What do you mean by a couple movies behind?
I mean, we had talked about seeing the Pirates movie, but then that came out and we didn't see it.
That's child abuse, Jeff.
Take them to see that movie?
Yeah.
But I
put a Dyfus on you.
Richard Dyfus wasn't in that movie. If he was, then I'd go see it. I love Richard Dyfus. Okay, we should wrap this up.
So what we're gonna do is I guess see this movie.
Yep.
And we're gonna come back.
Come back, and we'll tell you everything we thought about it. We are going to focus mostly on the 1917 aspects. We're going to focus on what the cars were like, what the fashions were like. David Thewlis is in this, and I heard he has a tremendous mustache.
Now, we haven't seen a movie together in a while.
No.
Are we putting the seat between us? We said we're woke guys. We're evolved. Yeah. Are we gonna be those guys that have the seat between us?
We shouldn't do that. No.
No?
No, we should sit next to each other. If one of us wants to crack wise, we can.
Well, you say, what if it's just for comfort? I like to want to spread out a little bit.
We're not that big. We don't need an extra
seat. That's true. Nothing like that guy. My God.
I'm now very curious. I'm going to spend half the movie just looking around to see if the large man came into the theater with us.
I don't think they have seats for a man of his carriage.
So, have you seen any of the DC movies leading up to this?
I saw Superman. Did not like it.
Okay. I didn't...
Too many explosions.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You agree with that?
I agree.
I thought you were going to be like you were going to make fun of me, like I'm the old fuddy-duddy who...
No. Superman is an aspirational character. He shouldn't be in a big, giant war with supervillains.
I agree. I feel like... I like better when Superman like fights like a mugger, where it's like really unfair.
Right. Right, and that's where Christopher Reeve's like zero ego thing came in, because you never felt like he was lording it over the mugger. And in the 50s and 60s, Superman was. Mm-hmm. There was a old Robert Wall sketch where he's like, "You dumb bastards, I'm Superman," and then he would duck when they threw the gun at him because he's still like a bad 50s actor.
Good old Robert Wall, still making us laugh after all these years.
Well, I thought about that from like 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. He made me laugh 25 years ago.
I hope that, like, I don't know, like 90 years from now, well, science is, like, we'd be alive still.
And we're still watching Arliss reruns?
And so we do a podcast about 100 years ago.
Oh.
And we're talking about the final episode of Arliss.
And how we want to die.
I don't want to be 140, please.
But this episode of Arliss briefly takes away the pain.
Our most beloved series, Arliss. There's some kind of war or, climate catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And all our media from before gets wiped out, except for one box set of Arliss that we all have to share.
Now, Wonder Woman, I think, in this movie is immortal. So she could be facing this very scenario that you and I are just hypothesizing about. Mm-hmm. That she lives forever and there is nothing in her life except for what she enjoyed when she was a child.
Like Arliss.
Like Arliss, yes. It's an island of women. The one man is Robert Wall. And they're like, we don't need any other men. We have physical perfection right here.
Now, if Robert Wall were in that movie, because it's part of the DC Universe, would he be his character from Batman?
to connect the world.
Yes.
Yes. A good 40% of Batman is Robert Wall's character. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
You would... Like, there's very, very little Batman, because they didn't have confidence in the suit. But they had a lot of confidence in Robert Wall's comic relief.
I'll have to watch it again.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
All right, is your laptop going to be safe in this car? I've heard there's gang activity at this movie theater.
I think it should be fine. All just right. Lock the car.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to break into a minivan to steal an 8-year-old computer. If they do, God bless them.
What if it's like a very specific gang initiation?
We need you to steal a computer worth under $100.
Well, the real shame would be our goal. We've recorded this so far.
But, yeah, we would lose the first 15 minutes, and we could never get this back again.
All right. Was it time to go in?
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We will see you in 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh, is that long? God damn. All right.
Time passes. So, we are back.
Yes.
Let me make it official. I'll open and close the door. Ah, we are back.
Oh, boy.
So, for a woke guy, you fell asleep a lot in that movie.
I didn't fall asleep at all.
You didn't?
No.
Oh. Wow, I heard a lot of like...
sounds. Really?
Yeah.
I breathe like a pug, I guess.
I didn't want to disturb you. I was going to get ready to say, how much of that movie do you remember? Because you were threatening to fall asleep.
I didn't fall asleep at all.
Excellent. Good.
Not one bit.
I enjoyed the movie.
Apparently, I have a breathing issue, though, where I should maybe see a doctor.
Yeah. And also...
I will say I wasn't comfortable in my seat.
No?
No, my back did not feel comfortable.
Oh.
So maybe that was it. Maybe I was grunting in pain.
Yeah, and I was also keyed into it. Because at first, I was keyed into looking for Mr. Three Bills, the large man who's still walking
in.
He
was more than Three Bills.
He was? Okay, fine. He was...
He may have been hovering towards five.
Five? If he was nowhere near four, much less five.
Absolutely, no, he was five. He was between four and five. I've seen 300-pound people. He dwarfed them. He would eclipse them.
I love how we were supposed to be talking about Wonder Woman, and we've immediately gone on to fat guys.
What do you think a fat guy went to see if he didn't go see Wonder Woman?
Ooh.
Was he a Pirates of the Caribbean guy?
No, there's something coming out. There's like a preview for tonight. And I forget what's coming out this weekend. But I think he's going to see that. I think he's the guy who goes every week to the movies. So he's already seen Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's mocking us for the fact that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, we're at least a week behind or 2 weeks behind on Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Some poor fools will never see Pirates of the Caribbean 5 at all. Living their worthless lives with only 4 Johnny Depp as a pirate movies in their lives.
No, I was very awake and alert for the movie. And, I don't know how much longer this will last.
Yeah, so we'll dive right into it. I think we should walk a fine line between spoilers. So if you have not seen Wonder Woman, we're not going to tell you the plot and everything that goes on. We'll just talk around it.
Look at this kid. How old is this kid? He's out this late.
Wow, he's like 6 and it's 11:30.
Yeah, what's he doing?
Wow. There was a small child and his family that walked by.
Oh my god. Maybe he's like a shift worker.
Wait, the kid is a shift worker?
Yeah, maybe that's it. He's just up now, you know?
Not the family, but the kid itself, the 6-year-old.
The kid himself, he works nights.
He's a shift worker from 1917 when child labor was A-okay.
He would be heading over to his job right now, I don't know.
He wanted to see what life was like in the olden days.
So many shitty parents here.
So, the first segment of Wonder Woman takes place on Paradise Island, and only then do you dive into the 1917-ness of it. Because this is a big-budget movie, they'll have, like, a scene or two scenes in London, but they go all out in terms of showing you, like, 2, 3, 4 different auto buses, each one a different sort of auto bus, just wandering by in the background, all covered with vintage ads of the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not good enough yet to know if those are actual products or if they were just made up to sound like the products of the day.
Just like the your ad for the children's cigarettes, which I'm pretty sure you've fallen for.
I've fallen for a fake ad?
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm really, really sure that was a fake ad.
That could be. I'll show you the original, and maybe I can post it on the website also. Mm-hmm. And let me know, because if it was a fake ad, it's done very well. Mm-hmm. So Wonder Woman herself has been reinvented like 19 different times. And so it was a real challenge, because you can't just do a standard origin story. Peter Parker, Spider-Man has one origin story. It's the same every single time. Spider bites him. Oh, wow, I have powers. Oh, and now my uncle's dead. Oh, I gotta save the next person.
Were you a big Wonder Woman fan?
No.
No, okay.
No, I was not. And I could give you a surprisingly long list of Wonder Woman comics I've read, and I still don't really know the basics of Wonder Woman. And that's because it keeps changing.
Did you learn how to pronounce the name of her island?
I didn't. They said it like 3 or 4 times. The Myscria?
Before is that right? You said Paradise Island before, which is just, I think that's in the Bahamas.
Is that like Jimmy Buffett's private island? Well, I'll say Paradise Island, because I guess that maybe that's what it means in ancient Greek. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of fake Greek accents in the first quadrant of this movie. I was not a fan of the fake Greek accents.
No?
No.
Well, because nobody really can exactly do a Greek. They do kind of a, nondescript accent.
I'm Mediterranean.
I'm Greek, I guess.
And everyone does it slightly differently. Mm-hmm. So and you can tell these people, like, that's an American, that's an English person. You can tell they're all, doing accents. So that, in my head, makes it a little fake.
Was this the biggest issue you had with the movie?
No. No. But I'm not saying I had an issue with the movie. I really enjoyed the theme of war, for lack of anything else. Because the way I've heard people describe it, Batman stories are about being a cop at, mm-hmm. at heart. There's crime, you're going to stop it. Superman stories are at heart about being a firefighter. There is someone in trouble, let's go save them. And Wonder Woman stories are at heart about being a soldier. So this is a movie about being a soldier, where she's shown as both very savage and ruthless and able to take down almost any adversary with no problem, and incredibly innocent.
Yeah, there's sort of like a Crocodile Dundee vibe.
Yes, you whispered that one time. There's a montage where she puts on clothes.
Yeah, well, it was a stranger in a strange land sort of thing.
Right.
But very much like she's read all these books and has all this knowledge, at the same time, knows absolutely nothing. And the style of it reminded me a lot of either like Crocodile Dundee / Arnold Schwarzenegger and Twins.
Yes, I can definitely see Arnold Schwarzenegger and Twins.
Yeah.
Maybe he was from Paradise Island himself. Maybe there's an island of women, and then there's also an island of men.
An island of all Schwarzeneggers.
I love this idea of the island of men. Like the parallel, you know how there'll be a boys' camp and a girls' camp on opposite sides of the lake? There's an island of Schwarzeneggers. Why would we want women? We have all the men we want. It's perfect.
Just bad Wall Street accents on this island.
It's the Little Vienna section of Paradise Island.
I was waiting for you on this next one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm figuratively driving, even though I'm literally behind the wheel, but not driving. We talked about going to the middle seat to record this, but it felt too much like sitting in the back seat, which seemed weird, even though it's a bench seat, so it would be probably more comfortable than we are right now.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about admitting that I had qualms about going to see Wonder Woman. That's not a fine aspect of my personality. But I felt like it was something that we should address.
What were your qualms?
My qualms, even though I've seen all the superhero movies, was that this was seen, like you were saying, as a feminist film. And when you're watching it, it's much more a film about war and soldiers than it is about a lady.
Who are you worried about, like, branding you as a feminist? Like, would you consider yourself alt-right?
No, not at all. And that's the weird thing.
Are you a cuck, then, in that case?
I consider myself more snowflake adjacent. But I don't know who it is that I'm scared of thinking these bad things about me. Maybe it's myself. Maybe there's a part of myself that isn't as enlightened as I'd like to think.
Well, I've never thought of you as somebody who really, like, has ever cared what people think. I mean, you were a 23-year-old man who was trick-or-treating.
Yeah, if I cared what other people think, my life would have been very different.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to have... You embraced geekiness before everyone else decided to embrace geekiness.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was that you embraced it as much as you really just couldn't run from it in any way. You really couldn't fake it.
Like, yeah, so I decided to steer into the curve.
Yeah, like there wasn't really much you could do about it.
Right.
You never passed.
No,
I
could have, it was just luck of the draw. I could have gone into like senior citizen lacrosse, and that could have been my big thing instead of comic books. And now I'd be like wondering why no one else cared about senior citizen lacrosse I do.
You're ahead of your time.
Yeah, I lucked out with the pick that I happened to be interested in.
Yeah, I just find it odd that you, that this would be something that you'd be, you know, ashamed of.
No, it's not ashamed. I just wasn't sure what the reaction would be. I'm thinking about my younger brother who worked at a movie theater for one summer. And it was the summer the X-Files movie came out.
Okay.
And he was selling tickets, and he said that he had never sold so many single tickets in his life before. Because everyone who was going to X-Files that weekend apparently was going by themselves. Oh, not with friends, not with loved ones or relatives.
And if you bought two tickets, it's because you needed two seats.
Like Mr. Three Bills, Four Bills, four, Five Bills.
Four or five, possibly. If we see him again, I'm going to go ask him what he weighs.
I'm sure he would love that.
Excuse me, we have a little listen to podcast. And...
and we'd like to talk about your weight. By the way, we saw Wonder Woman, so we're very enlightened on certain scores.
I'm sorry to body shame you. There was a big round of applause.
There was a lot of applause. Yeah. Considering this was a Thursday night crowd, we had a good, robust audience.
I find it odd when people like applaud in a movie.
I like it. It's a good atmosphere. I think maybe the single best movie-going experience I had was watching a movie that was not very good at all, but I saw it in an urban theater, and everyone was excited and you know, urban, talking to the screen.
Like your code word there, Jeff.
No, I am saying urban because there were people of all different races, all different ethnicities, and everyone was yelling at the screen.
And kids shooting dice.
We went to see Scream 3, which is the third worst Scream movie, but it was my finest experience. The quote, "My boy got some weight on him," is going to stay with me forever.
Were you the one who said it?
No, I was not. It was someone like five seats in front of me. But when he saw someone attacking... I'm going to pause you because I'm trying to remember the actor's name.
It's all right. It won't really matter.
I want to make this poll. I want to remember the guy's name because I've seen him in a whole bunch of things.
All right. This is really interesting right now.
he played Sabretooth in Wolverine Evolution.
It does nothing for me.
No, it doesn't. Liev Schreiber. I got it. It was Liev Schreiber. He's in the first three Scream movies, and he gets attacked, and he shows up in like this shirt, and the guy in front of me goes, "Yo, my boy got some weight on him," which I guess meant that he was solidly built and he could fight back.
Oh, right. I would think that means more like you're like a fatso.
Oh. I guess in this case, weight meant muscle.
Mm-hmm. So what else about 1917?
There's a scene with a motorcycle, and I don't know motorcycles, but I'm going to assume that was a period motorcycle. I'm assuming they got it right. It looked skinny. It looked like a skinny motorcycle. There wasn't too much to it. It was almost something you could build yourself.
I kind of feel like this movie really did not need to be in 1917.
No, they never actually like showed the words 1917 on screen. I think in Batman versus Superman, which had Wonder Woman, which introduced her, they mentioned that she had been around for like 100 years.
But she hasn't lost her accent yet.
No, not yet. But they mentioned that she can speak like 100 different languages. So maybe that's just her accent in all of the languages, mm-hmm. which is, it's very impressive. And maybe that's part of her whole thing. She's not going to sound like she's from any country because she's from everywhere.
Well, I don't think I'm spoiling too much of this because I think people know what happens a little bit here. Well, it's the end of the war. And the British have a big celebration waving, British flags.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think people are aware of who won.
Yeah.
The Great War.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, that's never an experience that I've had in my lifetime. We've had wars throughout my life. We've never had a big celebration kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've never had the opportunity to kiss a nurse in Times Square.
Now, I would think a lot of people would want to do that, so they'd all go to Times Square. And if you were a nurse, just get out of uniform. Take the Burger King hat off your head. Because there's going to be about 100 guys all trying to make moment.
No, they don't. But we don't really have like a big like war celebration. The only ones I can think of is, I think after the first Gulf War, there was a ticker tape parade.
Yeah, but whenever whoever wins the Super Bowl, there's a big party for them. That's our new war.
But nobody felt that. But nobody felt like that great about the first Gulf War, did they? Was it like that exciting?
No, we didn't.
Or were we just happy we won?
We didn't have that much invested in it. We saw something that was something bad was going to happen. We sent people in, and 6 months later, they actually attacked, and it was we lost about 100 people, which, in the grand scheme of things, for a whole war, isn't that much. And now I'm ashamed to say I don't know how many people on the other side died. All I know is that only 100 Americans
died. They can
died.
Go have their own parade, okay? Yeah.
Anyone who is still alive and has both legs can march in the parade.
No, so yeah, we never had that kind of like big like end of war celebration.
Yeah, I guess you need to have a war for a long time for there to be a celebration. And even now, like when we left Iraq and Afghanistan, there were still lots of troops there. It was just like, okay, at a certain point, we've gone from 31,000 to 30,000 and a half, and now that means we're out of the war.
Well, that's actually how we should get out of wars. We just have a celebration. We don't even need to really win.
That
right? Like, you know, like, yes, it's like, do we technically win Iraq? I don't know. We, you know, who really knows? It's all, but just, we're going to have a celebration. That means we won.
I think you would fit in well with the current administration. If your idea is, we don't need to actually do anything. We'll just have a big party to say we did it.
everybody leaves happy. We don't have to drag this out for a lot of years. We bring the troops home.
And next week will be our 1,000th episode. Congratulations, us. We did it. Yeah, 1,000 episodes. Woohoo!
You celebrate, you know, you play some music, Rodney Dangerfield dances.
You were actually doing the Rodney Dangerfield dance.
Yeah, we're all going to get late. Now, hey, before, are we moving on now?
I have a quiz for you about Wonder Women.
All right, but you know,
we have one more thing to talk about.
We have a big correction that we have to make.
Oh, yes. Oh,
let's do the quiz first, and we'll get back to the correction. This should be your most shameful moment.
I want to get the correction out of the way.
No, let's do the quiz.
The quiz first?
I want to end with the
shame?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
I may actually strip you naked, throw turds at you, and shout shame while ringing a bell.
Okay, so our quiz is on...
Shame!
Our quiz is on Wonder Women. Not just Wonder Woman Diana Prince, but other women of note who were active in 1917.
Okay.
These are all taken from the book Wonder Women by Sam Maggs that I just read earlier today. Okay, question number one. This Polish-born chemist was working in Paris in 1917 on radium.
Oh, Curie.
Yes, Marie Curie, yeah. Madame Curie. Good. Okay, number two. Now, most of these are women you do not know because most people don't know them, which is why the whole book was written about them. So it's not going to be name this person. I will tell you about them, and then you'll have to answer an adjacent trivia question. I'm just going to... This is going to be my third time trying to say this question. If I can't get my diphthongs right, I'm just going to keep on going.
That's why you will never ever host a game show.
Especially not a diphthong-based game show. Emma Noether developed Noether theorem on the calculus of variation while teaching at a German university. How much was she paid over her 7 years of teaching?
Nothing. She did it gratis.
That is correct. She did not do it gratis. The university had a policy of not paying women.
Oh, all right.
They had a policy of hiring women and having women work, but not paying them.
Oh. Also fitting well with the current administration.
Next question. Dr. Marie Equi of Portland, Oregon, was one of the founders of the birth control movement. Earlier on in her career, she was famous for attacking a con man who was in her town. How?
All right. Birth control?
Yes. She was a birth control advocate.
I imagine she kicked him in the testicles.
It's better than that. She horsewhipped him clear across town.
Wow.
She broke into the building where he was. She started to horsewhip him. He ran out down the stairs. She kept horsewhipping him. And he made it all the way across town. She kept on hitting him with the horsewhip.
What do you think is the worst way to get run out of town? On a rail or being horsewhipped?
I think horsewhipping is worse. Because on a rail normally means on a railroad and you just... Yeah. Run out of town. You know, brother, where art thou?
They actually put a guy on a rail.
They actually put your guy on a rail, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in both cases, you're not being whipped. And she was arrested because even back then, you're not allowed to whip people in public. But the town raised money to pay for her bail. And then they auctioned off the whip. And it went for $250.
Wow. That's a lot of money for the time.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for a whip, which is probably something you could get.
Yeah.
Something in use?
They're happy that this con man was whipped with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He stole $50,000 from the town. It wasn't just from her. It was from everyone. Mm-hmm. So she stood up. Okay. Sarah Josephine Baker worked as a health inspector to decrease child mortality rates in Hell's Kitchen, the part of New York where Daredevil currently works. The baby's mortality rate was worse than World War I soldiers at the time, so she was working to correct that. While she was trying to stop disease epidemics, she caught which infamous patient zero 2 times in a row?
Hmm. Wait, the person?
Yeah, there was a very famous patient zero.
Typhoid Mary.
Typhoid Mary, yes. Yes. Yes, Typhoid Mary, interestingly enough, is also the name of a Daredevil villain.
I used to have this student at my school. He used to just love shaking my hand. And I always thought, like, oh, this kid's Typhoid Mary. The amount of germs he just spreads his hand shaking. Every day, I shake my hand.
Next question.
Unclean.
Miriam Benjamin was one of the first African-American inventors to acquire a patent under her own name. Her gong and signal chair did what? She invented something called a gong and signal
chair. And it wasn't like a gong like you hit, like a, like, you know, a gong show tape gong?
No. Putting a gong next to a chair doesn't count as an invention.
It's the gong chair.
I can put a gong next to it. I invented something called a plate on a table, too. You want to see if it works?
I don't know this one. I don't know.
The gong and signal chair. You pressed a button and a little bell rang on your chair. Mm-hmm. Or you could move it so that the bell would ring in the kitchen. And it was used for waitstaff, so you didn't have to, like, wave down waiters all the time.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same idea if you're on an airplane now and you want to get the flight mm-hmm. attendant's attention and you press a button.
We would never have this in restaurants now.
No, it'd be you would just be too annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was an invention that was too good because it got people's attention too much. It's better now to not be able to get people's attention. Elizabeth Magie invented and patented the Landlord's Game, which was a board game. Years later, it would be repackaged by Charles Darrow as what Atlantic City-based board game?
Monopoly.
Monopoly,
correct. I knew that even before you said Atlantic City, just so you know.
I was wondering if I should put in AC or not.
As soon as you said Landlord's Game.
Landlord's Game, you got it?
I got it, yes.
Okay, moving on.
So, what do you think of like when they do like the different versions of Monopoly?
Oh, that's by a company called USAopoly. I'm very interested what they consider to be Park Place and Boardwalk.
Me too.
Yeah.
I don't mind it when you actually use real places. Like, mm-hmm. when there's like a version of like, say, Simpsons Monopoly.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like all different like locations around Springfield. I've seen ones where they're not actual like locations though.
Yeah, that's...
Like, where like, just for example, make Marvel Comics Monopoly.
Okay.
And instead of being like, you could build a hotel, it's like, no, this is just, you know, Wolverine is Boardwalk.
That's not right.
I don't like that.
They should be a location.
Yeah, it's an actual location.
Yeah, if your franchise is making a Monopoly game, you need to have enough distinct locations, and you need to have like a tier of them so that they get better as you move through the board. You can't just pick two at random and have them be Park Place and Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want Mo Zizlak's house to be Park Place.
Well, I actually have the Simpsons Monopoly game.
What is Park Place and Boardwalk? Do you remember?
What is it? Burns Manor.
Burns Manor, okay.
Is one of them. And
so they're going with like the most prestigious places in Springfield.
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, it's Burns Manor. Can't remember what the other one is though. Maybe Krusty Lou Studios.
That could work. Yeah, I could buy that. Okay. Next question. Sarah Breedlove was also known as Madame C.J. Walker. She was a son of freed slaves, and she started a cosmetics empire selling what? What cosmetics product did she start selling?
Oh, like not the name of the company, but the actual...
The company's name was Madame C.J. Walker, and that's what she got known as. But, what product did they sell?
I don't know. Lipstick?
Nope, they sold hair straightener.
Oh, all right.
Like, I guess something better than Lye, because Lye will just...
You used to have curly hair.
Now I have short hair. It's still wavy if it gets longer.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember you when I first met you, your hair was very poofy.
Yeah, I've cut it back, and maybe it's gotten a little thinner.
Mm-hmm.
But But now that I'm like an adult, I feel like the poofy hair on someone in his 40s does not look the same as someone in college. It just looks like I took a sweater off 3 hours ago and no one told me that it poofed up my hair.
My hair's a little poofy.
A little, but you can...
Can I get away with it yet?
You can get away with it, yeah. Yeah, you've got a beard. That helps.
You know, I feel that same way. If you have a beard, you get away with a little poofiness.
Yeah. Yeah, now if you had a beard and like a severe haircut, then that sends a whole different message. Mm-hmm. I don't know what message that sends because I've never had that combination of short hair.
I got a bad haircut recently, a couple months back, and I haven't cut it since then. But it was a terrible, terrible haircut. And that was pretty severe.
Yeah.
It was a little... It almost looked like I was going for a Justin Bieber kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. With like a real, like, you know, defined line. It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. I was really unhappy with it.
I'm sorry for your loss. Mm-hmm. But it's grown back, and now you look like you again.
Good.
Okay, we have three more questions. Mountain climber Miss Annie Peck was admitted to the Royal Geographical Society in 1917. She was an explorer. What did she plant on the mountains that she summited?
Not a flag, I guess?
A certain type of flag.
Pride flag?
Nope, a suffragette flag. She was working for the vote. Even
I don't think they had the pride flag then.
No.
I actually saw did I tell this story already about being in Target with the pride flag?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay. So, you know, it's a... We're in the midst of Gay Pride Month. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a day. Now it's a whole month. But so they have pride flags in Target. Mm-hmm. And there was like a little boy who I think was probably about like 3 or 4 years old. About the same age as my kid. And he was like begging his parents for a rainbow flag.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Now, the parents did not want him to have the rainbow flag. And it was clear. It wasn't because... they had anything against the pride flag. It was more just in the way the kids were annoying you at Target.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, no, we don't want that. But and, like, his father was being, like, real, like, apologetic. It's like, the kids were getting all like, no, look, there's nothing wrong with that flag. It's a nice flag.
And the kid's just like, I want that. I see something that I wanted.
No, it's a nice flag. But, no, we're not getting anything today. You know, he's just trying to, he wanted to scream out, I'm not a homophobe.
And then if he reaches for a Doc McStuffins character, it's like, okay, I love black people, but just put that one down. We're not getting a Doc McStuffins, but there's nothing wrong with skin color. Two more questions. This investigative journalist went undercover in an asylum and took the Jules Verne challenge of going around the world in only 72 days. Jules Verne said that it was just barely possible in 80 days. She was able to shave over a week off of that.
Is this like a well-known, like, modern journalist?
No, she's from 100 years ago.
Oh, okay. From yeah.
But I've read both of her books. I read this book about the asylum, and I read about going around the world in 72 days.
I don't know.
Nellie Bly.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's a name I know. Without having any idea of anything about her.
Yep. Well, now you know two things about her. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure about Arkham's Asylum.
Oh, and that ties in with Wonder Woman.
That's what I was going for.
Yep. It's late. It's just midnight now, so my brain is slowly processing the comic book mentions. Our final question: which one of the Wonder Women I just asked you about would go on to become the only woman to win 2 Nobel Prizes?
Well, probably Curie, right?
Madame Curie. Yep. And that is it. That's the end of our...
No!
No?
No.
We're still going?
We have to address...
Oh!
Your shame.
I was trying to get out of it. Okay. So, the shame is that last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about...
Commandant Lassard.
We talk about Commandant Lassard, who I said was an actor named George Gately. George Gately, the name sounded very familiar to me. Sounded like that's close enough.
That must be his name. I don't know how I didn't catch this myself. So I feel some shame, too.
It's mostly your fault.
Yeah, I should have caught this.
Yeah, this was the big quiz. I was going to make a mistake and make it like 25 times. And I was going to see if you were going to catch me. Mm-hmm. And you failed the test that I was doing.
I don't get the chocolate factory.
No. So, It's not George Gately. George Gately is the name of the cartoonist of Heathcliff. That's why it sounds familiar to me.
Because you're a big Heathcliff fan.
I was more of a Cats and Company fan myself, but you needed to go through Heathcliff to get through a Cats and Company.
I don't know what that is.
Those are the cartoons. There was a Heathcliff cartoon, and then there was a Cats and Company cartoon.
I don't know Cats and Company. I remember the Heathcliff cartoon.
Yeah, it was not a good cartoon at all.
No.
No.
So, but what's the guy's actual name?
I thought you were
George Gaines.
George Gaines. George Gaines.
And I should have known. I don't know why I let this go. I'm a huge fan of the man.
See, I always got George Gaines and another actor, a tall, patrician actor named Don Moffat.
Oh, I know Don Moffat. He kind of looks like Leslie Nielsen.
Yes, and I was scared that I was going to mix them up in the podcast. So when I never got them mixed up, I thought, I did it. I didn't mix up George Gately with anyone, but it turns out I did. I mixed him up with the actual actor I was supposed to be talking about, George Gaines. So I apologize, ghost/corpse of George Gaines.
I imagine as a child, this is what I'm envisioning, all right?
Okay.
Remember they do like the Scholastic book sales?
Yeah.
At school?
Uh-huh.
I'm picturing you going there. You have a couple bucks that your mom gave you to buy some books.
Okay.
Armful of Heathcliff cartoon books.
Because Garfield was unavailable.
Yeah. Was Heathcliff the like ripoff of Garfield? Like was Garfield like have like soaring popularity and they just put together Heathcliff? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if like Heathcliff. Do you know that for a fact?
I don't know it for a fact, but I'm pretty sure. I know Garfield came first, and then
did he?
Yeah, yeah. Garfield was the beginning of the guy and the funny talking animal.
I don't think did Heathcliff talk.
Heathcliff talked. Yeah.
Let's see. Hold on. Let me look this up here.
Are you looking up on YouTube to see the cartoon, or are you looking up the comic strip? Garfield, I know, is still going strong. Jim Davis doesn't draw it anymore, but he's shepherding a group of people who are drawing it.
I don't care about using Heath Ledger.
Are you going to get Heathcliff from Wuthering Heights now?
I did, actually. Didn't you? I don't for sure. Let's see. The Heathcliff comic strip began in 1973.
Oh, that may predate Garfield.
Oh, man.
It may.
Let's see. Hold on. 1978.
Oh, wow. Heathcliff comes first.
And Garfield was much bigger. I mean, he got a Macy's balloon. There was products everywhere.
Yes.
George Gailey must be so fucking pissed about this.
Do you think he's upset because the apology we have is being overrun by talking about Heathcliff?
Because for years, I most people thought that Heathcliff is the Garfield ripoff.
Yeah.
And he's probably like, no. Jim, he ripped me off.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I was robbed, and everybody thinks I'm the GoBots to his Transformers.
I think GoBots may have actually come first, too. There's a problem with being first to market. You don't want to be the first to market. You want to be the best to market.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wonder Woman was not the first movie about a female superhero. Catwoman came out beforehand, which was atrocious. Elektra came out, which was better than Catwoman, but not by leaps and bounds. The Powerpuff Girls had a movie, which was just like, you know, a cartoon you could pay money to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Supergirl in 1984. That's it. I've just told you every female superhero movie that was out in theaters.
Well, you also told me that George Gately was Comet Lasard, so who knows what to believe with you.
Yeah, I may be dissembling as we speak right now. But one thing I can tell you for true is that this is the end of the 1917 podcast.
Yes. Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy.